If you have your scriptures with you this morning, we're in the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. If you want to use one of the pew Bibles around you, I believe it's page 995. This morning we're taking a break from our Luke series. For those who have been following along, we're jumping into a text that's talking about the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This letter was written by the Apostle Paul while he's sitting in prison. He's in prison for preaching about the risen Christ, and he's awaiting his execution because he won't stop preaching that Jesus is Lord. He's waiting his execution under the hand of Roman Emperor Nero. This letter is written to Timothy, who was like a son to Paul in the faith. Paul mentored him. Timothy was a minister, a pastor, and amidst all the suffering and the persecution at the hands of the Roman Empire. And this letter is meant to encourage Timothy to press on, to endure for the cause and the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's reminding Timothy to look up, if you will, to remember Christ is risen, that he's reigning, and that he's building his church even in the midst of great chaos. He wants Timothy to remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, that Jesus is even Lord, living and active even now. So we'll read through our text, we'll pray first, and we'll ask the Lord to teach us this morning to help us to remember Christ risen from the dead. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for a love that surpasses all understanding in Christ Jesus. I pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit to help us understand more and more of your great love for a wicked, rebellious, sinful people such as I, that you would love us so much, not only to redeem us, to save us, but to make us new. And so, Lord, we pray as we go through this text this morning, help us to remember Christ risen from the dead and what that means for us even right now, even in 5 hours from now. Tomorrow, what does it mean that Christ is risen? And that we would be a people who would live through that truth in a relationship with you and relationships with one another. So we pray that you'd speak to us as you spoke to Timothy. Help us to hear these truths and apply them to our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 13. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I'm suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation, that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." This ends the reading of God's holy, unchanging, inerrant word this morning. When chaos is going on around us, it's easy to forget Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Just within the last 2 years, we've had all kinds of turmoil, the turmoil from the pandemic, turmoil from all kinds of political upheavals in our country, the chaos of ungodly sexual perversion being driven upon our children and society, the chaos of people just not being able to work, people not being able just to keep their homes, and that's just to name a few in our country. We have the sickening war going on in Ukraine that's affecting the whole world, and tensions rising among so many other countries. To top it off, loneliness, depression, anxiety, anger, violence in the streets, all kinds of wickedness seem to be on boiling levels, just bubbling over, becoming more and more unrestrained. These things testify to a fallen and broken world. They testify to the depravity and lostness of man, where people were willing to do such violence to others for the silliest things. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. And we can see the curse of the fall being affected all over the world. We live in a time where people are calling good evil and evil good. We're definitely looking more and more like the Roman Empire of old, the time when Paul wrote this letter to Timothy to encourage him with the gospel of Christ. What's the hope in the midst of evil and chaos? Jesus crucified, risen from the dead. Paul tells Timothy, he tells you, his beloved, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And to remember isn't simply just recalling information like you do for a spelling test, if you remember those days. They give you a list of 20 words and you do your best to try to spell all the different words and write them down for the test. It's different, this kind of remembering. For example, in the Lord's Supper, when Jesus tells the disciples to take and eat in remembrance of me, Herman Ritterboss writes, he says, it's not just a recalling to mind, but it's an active manifestation of the continuing and actual significance of the death of Christ. And I think we can say the same thing about the resurrection of Christ. It's not remembering something that's happened in the past, but actively remembering in such a way that it continues to have significant impact for how I live right now. We do this each Sunday for worship. It's the day Christ rose from the dead. It's the day that changes everything. It's the day that signifies that sin has been paid for and God was pleased with the atonement of Christ. Again, this idea of remembering. Michael Horton, he helps us in understanding the Jewish context. He says it's more than recollecting. It's more than just remembering. He says in the Jewish culture, to remember means participating here and now in a certain defining event in the past, also knowing that it's going to affect my future. It's being affected right now by the truths of something that's happened in the past, knowing it's going to affect my future, and we have this in the resurrection of Christ. And then the Puritan John Flavel, he distinguishes between two types of remembering. He says the first is speculative and transient, the second is affectionate and permanent. He says speculative remembrance is only to call to mind the history of such a person and his suffering, maybe U.S. history or whatever history you like to talk about. But Christ was once put to death in the flesh, and we have an affectionate remembrance. So we recall to mind Christ and his death to feel the power and the impressions left on our hearts and minds of those realities and how it affects us in the future. D.A. Carson reminds us that in the darkest night of the soul, the Christian has something to hold on to. Christ crucified, risen from the dead. So we remember Christ risen from the dead, not merely subjectively, but actively, continuing to know what that means right here and right now. What does it mean that he's alive right now, ruling and reigning in heaven? How does that help me in my struggle? How does that help me in my sin? How does that help me when my loved one passes away? Remember Christ risen from the dead, the first fruits of the resurrection to come. It's an affection remembrance when you recall Christ's death on your behalf and his resurrection to secure your victory. Paul Tripp just said yesterday on social media, he goes, the reason I get up in the morning, the resurrection of Christ. The reason I can fall asleep at night, the resurrection of Christ. The reason I do anything in my life, the resurrection of Christ. In a world of tribulation, in a world of suffering, God is saying to you, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the rolling King, and he's telling you to trust him, knowing that eternal glory is coming. So our first point in our sermon notes is this idea to remember the Jesus of the gospel. In verse 8, he says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. People have all kinds of thoughts about Jesus, but we need the true Jesus, the historical Jesus, the Jesus of the gospel. If you watch the History Channel for too long, you'll think Jesus was some kind of ancient alien that planted seed on the earth and just some kind of crazy figure of some imagination. Jesus wasn't just a man or a prophet. He's the eternal second person of the Godhead who took on flesh for you. The Jesus Seminar is a group of people who want you to think they understand Jesus. They think Jesus was an ordinary man, that he was crucified, but threw into a garbage heap, probably eaten by dogs, but they still want you to think Jesus is Lord if you want. They disregard all his miracles. They disregard all anything to do with the resurrection. Jesus wasn't an angel who turned into man and turned back into an angel, as Jehovah's Witnesses like to think. And Jesus isn't the Jesus of your imagination. You need the Jesus of the Gospels. You need the Jesus of history. You need the Jesus of reality. He is the eternal Son of God who came to save sinners. He's the God who came not to call the righteous, the self-righteous, but the humble sinner who knows they are lost and without hope. He's the one who came to seek and save the lost. He's the one who's been transforming the lives of countless millions of people ever since. Mario just testified last Sunday with his baptism that Jesus sought him. Jesus revealed himself to him, that Jesus is his Lord and Savior, and he can do the same for you. I'll never forget the day he showed up in my life. I had my own thoughts, my own imaginations of how Jesus should be, and he just convicted me like I'd never felt conviction before, saying, you think you know me, you don't, stop playing. We need the Jesus of the Gospels. We need Jesus crucified on our behalf, risen from the dead. We need Jesus who ascended into heaven, is Lord. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I'll remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which I received, in which you stand, by which you're being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you. For I delivered you of first importance what I also received. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Most are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and all the apostles, last of all, as one untimely born. He appeared to me. Jesus, over a period of 40 days, to hundreds of people, made himself known, one of the best attested events in history. Jesus is the one who has promised to Adam and Eve from the very beginning, promised to Moses, promised to David that he would be the son that would sit on his throne forever. And when it seemed like it was all over on Friday when he was crucified, he's raised eternally, that he's the eternal sovereign king. It's the story of the scriptures. God redeeming lost people, sinful people. John Piper writes, he says, so remember Jesus, the one you serve, the one whom you suffer for. He's not just alive from the dead, but he's alive as king and reigns forever. His kingdom will be no end. No matter what they do to you, you don't need to be afraid. You'll live again. You'll reign with him. He writes, if he's risen from the dead, he's alive and triumphant over death, including your death. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead means that no matter how serious the suffering becomes, the worst they can do is kill you and you're taking the glory. Jesus has taken the sting out of the enemy, death, and you'll be alive. Do not fear those who can kill the body and cannot kill the soul. Fear God who can kill both. Remember the Jesus of the gospel. Secondly, remember that his word is not bound. Paul says, for which I am suffering in verse 9, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Paul is in prison for preaching Christ as Savior and Lord. The government didn't like the message, so he's imprisoned. They're trying to stop the spread of the message, but you can't stop the will of a risen dead man. In one of Paul's earlier imprisonments in Philippians 1, he says, you know, brothers, what has happened to me being thrown in prison, has served to advance the gospel. So it's become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of my brothers, they're more confident in the Lord in my imprisonment, much more bold to speak without fear. When the devil, when the world thinks that they can bind the word of God, just God is just using them to advance the gospel in different areas and in different ways. During COVID, when worship services were shut down, probably one of the most trying times for many, many pastors. But the word went out in a different avenue, a different way, a way that we never hoped for or dreamed for through social media. It wasn't ideal. It wasn't what we expected. Especially Paul, you know, he doesn't want to be in prison. But God's word is not bound, and it goes out to accomplish what he wants it to do. Christ's resurrection power and his resurrection transformations continue on today. When they killed Jesus on Friday, his enemies, the religious group of the day, the society of the day, the government of the day, they thought they could bind Jesus, bind his message, kill Jesus, kill the leader, put him in a cold grave, seal that with a large tomb, put a Roman guard around it, bind it right there, stop it right there. And they couldn't. We have the great earthquake on Sunday morning, the angel of the Lord coming down, rolling the stone away, sitting on it, so that we can look into that tomb and see that it is empty, that he is alive. He's glorified. His word is not bound. That's what Paul would say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. Do you believe? Do you believe these events that actually happened in history? That Jesus is the Lamb of God who come to take away the sins of the world? Do you believe it? Do you believe that you can be completely forgiven because there's nothing you can do, there's nothing that you can offer, that you have a moral debt of sin that is high as Mount Everest, 10 times higher? Do you see it and understand it? And do you believe the perfection and the beauty and the glory of Christ? He says, I'll come and stand in your place. I'll come and stand in your place, and I'll pay it all. Here's my perfect righteousness. Give me your sin. I'll hang on that cross for you. Do you believe it? Have you embraced it? Have you been changed by it? Do you understand that Jesus Christ, crucified, risen from the dead, it's the good news, the great declaration that the war between God and man is over because the price has been paid, wrath has been totally poured out on his Son, and it's paid in full. Do you believe it? Have you embraced it? And remember that this salvation is a salvation of eternal glory. He says in verse 10, I endure everything. Paul is willing to endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they would obtain this salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Not just for today, but it is for today, but it's for eternal glory. Not just a speck in time, but eternal glory, he says. Paul is willing to endure. He's firmly convinced he saw Christ risen and glorified. He's willing to take the beatings. He's willing to take the imprisonments. He's willing to be beheaded so that you who would believe in Christ would know the salvation and eternal glory. He wants you to know resurrection glory. For as he would say in 1 Corinthians 15, for us in Adam all die, but in Christ all shall be made alive, each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, he's the beginning, resurrection on the vine. But when he returns, everyone else will rise with him. Our bodies that are breaking down will be resurrected, glorified, reunited with our souls forever. He says Christ must reign till he has put all of his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. He wants you to have salvation to eternal glory, to where you would see Jesus in all his glory. Jesus says in John 17, Father, I desire that they, you who believe, whom you've given me, will be with me where I am to see my glory that you've given me because you love me before the foundation of the world. Of the greatest things that we'll ever see is Jesus in his unveiled glory, the greatest being of all. We will get to see him and be with him for all eternity. He wants you to know the glory of the end of the curse. In the book of Revelation, behold, a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. He will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He'll wipe away every tear from their eye. Death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who sitteth on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. Write this down. These words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it's done. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. To the thirsty, I will give them the springs of the water of life. Eternal glory. And it's glory we can experience right now as we wait for it. As he says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. Our bodies are like jars of clay, showing that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. We're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. Perplexed, not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. We experience Christ's sufferings, we will experience resurrection glory. Remember your salvation. And remember that as you unite to Jesus through faith, he is your faithful Savior and King. In verse 11, he says, this saying is trustworthy. If we died with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us. For faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. What changes things? What will stop violence? What will stop abuse? What will stop anger? What will stop all these things of wickedness that rages in men's hearts? Repentance and faith in Christ, risen from the dead. It has to be a total surrender to him, a total swallowing of our prides, a total meltdown of our prides, to let go that think we are sovereign, to let go to think we have it all together, to let go and see that we have distorted his laws of love, that we can't even figure out how to love one another as we ought, that we've messed it up, that we see it, that we're disgusted by it, that we are sorry that we've offended God with it. And then we look to Christ crucified. Remember Jesus taking our place, that he would die for each one of those sins, thought, word, and deed, to pay the price in full. That we would turn to him in confession, turn from the sins, turn to Christ, and receive his mercies, to receive his forgiveness, to receive his welcoming as the thief on the cross who asked Jesus, remember me when I go into paradise, this criminal who saw Jesus on the cross for him, remember me. And Jesus says, today, you're with me in paradise. And then we live through him. We surrender, we receive, and then we live through Christ. That's what changes homes. That's what changes communities. That's what changes the world. So Paul gives these four doctrinal statements. He says, if we died with him, we'll live with him. It's that union of faith and repentance in Christ. If we've been united to him in his death, we will be united to him in his resurrection. He says, if we endure with him, we'll reign with him. It's this idea of perseverance that the world, the flesh, and the devil will constantly try to shut you up, to try to quench your faith, to try to put out that light. It will try to say, if you confess Christ as Lord, in the Roman Empire, you couldn't even get a job, unless you would say Caesar's Lord. Maybe there will be a day like that. It's coming, right? If you're a Christian and you hold to the things of Scripture, it'll be hard to work. He says, you endure. You be obedient. You be that faithful witness to the world. You endure when it seems that nothing makes sense, when it seems like my world's out of control. You remember Christ crucified, risen from the dead, that he knows, he understands, and you persevere through him. Because he says, if we deny him, he'll deny us. Do not neglect such a great salvation. When you die and stand before God on Judgment Day, you don't want to see Jesus turn his back on you. You had all these years to hear of Christ for you, the Lamb of God for you, the atonement for you, your King, your Savior, your Lord. If you continually reject him, you continue to lie, deny him, saying, I don't need him. When you stand before the holiness of God, and you feel the weight of being undone, you don't want Jesus to turn away. You receive him by faith now. You cry out to Jesus now. You ask him to save you now and for eternity. And you don't have to be perfect. He's not here for perfect people. That's why the last one says, if we're faithless, he remains faithful. He can't deny himself. He's not here for the perfect, but he is here for the humble sinners who know their desperate need of the perfect one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he won't turn his back on you. He won't turn his back on you. Two examples, Peter in one of his weakest moments, as Jesus is going and through the trials, and the woman asked him, are you a follower of Jesus? And he would actually deny Christ three times. But Jesus knew his heart, and Jesus restored him. Jesus restored him, and Peter became bold for the faith that he'd actually be crucified upside down for his faith in Christ. Thomas, who was one of the 12, and lived with Jesus all those 3 years seeing the miracles, he couldn't believe that Jesus was risen. He had all kinds of doubts. There's no way he's risen. There's no way. And Jesus showed up. And he says, my Lord and my God. Jesus remains faithful. The world is broken. We are fallen sinners, but Jesus changes everything. Remember Christ, not just an historical event, but a historical event that impresses on you now with truths, with great affections for Christ, knowing it's going to have tremendous consequences in the future of your glory. You remember Christ today. You remember Christ in 5 hours from now. You remember Christ when you wake up in the morning and you say, like Paul Tripp, the reason I get up in the morning, the resurrection of Christ. The reason I can lay my head on pillow and have peace at night, the resurrection of Christ. The reason I do anything that I do is the resurrection of Christ. He is my risen Lord. In a world of tribulation and suffering, remember Christ risen from the dead. Trust him now and forever. He is the eternal King, and glory is coming. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you'd fill our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit with these truths. It would be people of the resurrected Christ, the Lord, the King. Lord, as we look around, it seems like a lot of chaos. Let us remember you saved us through that chaos, and that you're going to save all your people, all your elect from all over this world, whom you've given to your Son, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we pray that you continue to impress these things on each heart and mind, that we would shine brighter because of it. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.